Greetings, salutations. Welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. It's episode 16, brought to you by Kappen and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. So glad you could join us on this beginning of a new month, August already. Wow, where's time gone? Our guest is going to be Glenn Bacchus. You may have missed the story about him last year in the West Texas Catholic. Well, we're going to refresh your memory a little bit. Glenn is the director of St. Helen's Outreach at St. Anne's Church in Canyon. He's also the director of the Market on Tierra Blanca, which is the only food pantry in Randall County. We're going to talk about how it got started. And with a new school year coming up, you know, the kids need their food so they can make the good grades and have the energy to do all those things they do. Glenn's going to tell you how you can be involved, by the way, with the Market on Tierra Blanca here in just a couple of minutes. And we'll get you up to date with news as well. But first, we spend time in prayer. Please assume an attitude of prayer and join us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dime's worth of opinions, not necessarily those of the Diocese of Amarillo, the Office of Communications, or Kappen, for that fact. Continue to pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. We've got the wheat crop taken care of. Now we need some rains on the corn, the cotton, the sorghum, etc. Please pray for the favorable weather that our farmers and ranchers need at this time of the year. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, the confused, and the discerning. And also continue to pray for vocations and an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And please pray for our three fantastic seminarians, Deacon Mauricio Valadez, Richard Escalante, and Benjamin Segoe. Go to amarillovocations.org for more details. And also, please continue to pray for the 8 men and their families who are discerning the permanent diaconate, who, by the grace of God, on Saturday, December 6th, write that date in your calendar, will be ordained to the diaconate for the Diocese of Amarillo at St. Mary's Cathedral. Continue to pray for them as well. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all you do for us. Your work does not go unappreciated here. And keep up with all the diocesan news. We'll have a few diocesan headlines to share with you after our conversation with Glenn Bacchus, amarillodiocese.org. WestTexasCatholic.org is where you can find all that out. Hey, if you haven't gotten on Facebook and liked our page yet, please do so. We try to post a lot and try to keep you up to date with everything, so please go there. Next issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, will be dated Sunday, August 17th. And by the way, we are going to a monthly schedule this fiscal year on the third Sunday of each month, so please keep that in mind. We'll elaborate more on that in the August 17th issue of the newspaper. Deadlines, by the way, are approaching for that issue, and that, by the way, that paper will be sent out as a flock note Monday morning, August 11th. And tell others about the podcast at amarillodiocese.org/podcast or stcapn.com. And while you're there, make sure you fill out the survey and tell us what you think. How can we make it better? And if you're interested in advertising on this podcast, nobody's taken the bait yet. Why not you be the first business to do that? Get with us. We'll tell you how we can make this affordable and easy for you. Our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 16, brought to you by Kappen and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo, is Glenn Bacchus, a parishioner at St. Anne's Church in Canyon. He is also big with the Market on Tierra Blanca. We're going to find out how big and more about the Market on Tierra Blanca in just a second. Glenn, thank you so much for coming in. If somebody who has never met you comes up and asks you the question, who is Glenn Bacchus? How do you define Glenn Bacchus?
Well, Chris, great question. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and wonder who I am, too. But all joking aside, just a farm boy born in Nazareth, Texas, raised in Hereford, Texas, Met my lovely bride at West Texas State University back then. Member of St. Anne's Catholic Church for, almost 40 years. Bounced around the state a few different times. Landed back at St. Anne's in 95 and raised my family there in Canyon. And, you know, just enjoying life, chasing my kids around, working, traveling quite a bit for business until God gave me the opportunity to sell my business.
And what business was that, by the way?
We administered insurance claims for large employers, primarily workers' comp and general liability claims nationwide. We had 24 offices across the nation. We had a nice little business, and a British firm came along and said, "We want to buy your business." And I was sick and tired of traveling at that point. So I said, you know, why not? So sold my business. They asked me to stay on for a period of years. And, you know, after a few more years of traveling, more international travel, I decided, you know, I'm done. I've missed too much with my family. It's time to just retire, if you will, even though I don't look at it as retiring, just time to start climbing that second mountain.
All these years I've known you, you're also from Nazareth?
I lived there until I was 5 years old.
Oh, really? See, I did not know that. Things you learn on the podcast every time from people.
Yeah, proud of my Nazareth roots,
as
too.
You should be.
Yeah.
International travel. What countries did you not get to see on your international travels associated with work?
Well, I didn't travel a whole lot internationally. It was leading to that, which is why I retired. I went to England a few times. I went to the Cayman Islands a few times. I know, rough gig there. Was asked to go to the Bahamas. I never did. You know, the trouble is when you go to these islands in paradise, you're more often stuck in conference rooms than enjoying the beach and the sand and the sun. Plus, when you come home, your wife doesn't hear how you laid out on the beach for 3 hours that morning. No. So you're there working, making contacts, working conferences. So, yeah, I walked away before the international travel started heavily.
Good for you. You are the director of St. Helens Outreach at St. Anne's Church in Canyon. And all of this kind of started, speaking of travel, during a pilgrimage in October of 2022 to the Holy Land. Take us back to the origins of St. Helens Outreach, which led to the market on Tierra Blanca.
Well, it actually started a little bit before that. I was in a program called Exodus 90. And by the way, if you're not familiar with Exodus 90, look into it. It's a great program for men to refocus their lives on God and becoming the man and fulfilling their vocation, becoming the man and father and husband that we've been called to be. So anyway, during Exodus 90, it's a 90-day program. Every day, you're supposed to set aside 1 hour, make one holy hour. And within that holy hour, 20 minutes is contemplative prayer. I like to think of contemplative prayer as shut up and listen time. So it was during that I felt God plant that seed in my heart about a food pantry in Randall County. Along the same time, St. Anne's had recently purchased some property adjacent to the church, had a couple of buildings there. So, you know, Father Scott had been prodding us. I was on the pastoral council at the time to find a way to utilize that property to better serve the community. So, just like any good Catholic, I ignored that little seed God planted in my heart, thinking it would go away, that it was just some crazy idea that Glenn cooked up. It just kept coming back and coming back. So I approached Father Scott and warning, if you ever go to a priest with an idea, be prepared to do a lot of work. So he gave me a whole list of things that we needed to, that I need to look into to make sure that this was coming from God and then start our due diligence efforts. Well, that started me on a 6-month journey of visiting with other food pantries, including the one in Nazareth and Catholic Charities here in Amarillo, going through our buildings to see what it would take to renovate those buildings to use for a food pantry, determining a need in Randall County. You know, I kept hearing often first that we don't need a pantry in Randall County. Canyon is a middle-class neighborhood. There are no people going without food. Randall County's the wealthiest county in the panhandle. Just don't need a food pantry. There were a couple of food pantries going at the time, but just little operations, primarily out of the closet. West Texas Catholic Student Center had a food pantry out of a closet, serving about 10 to 15 families per week. We had the Freedom House operating out of an office, serving just people on an emergency basis, maybe 10 a month. And then Canyon Cares was still going at that time, but again, serving maybe 10 to 15 a month on an emergency basis only. So there really was nothing in Randall County, the most populous county in the panhandle. So we, yes, we determined that there's definitely a need. And we do have the means to meet that need. It's just, do we have the interest in doing so? You know, it's hard sometimes for a lot of us, myself included. You know, it's easy to be a passive Christian where you just write a check or, you know, send that in and, you know, let somebody else take care of it. A little bit more difficult to actually put the time and talent into it. So we were looking for people that were interested in doing that. And, you know, because this couldn't be the Glenn Bacchus food pantry. It couldn't be necessarily the St. Anne's food pantry. It needed to be a community-wide effort. So, you know, my next step was just to see what kind of support I could drum up in the community.
And you found a lot of support in the community, especially at St. Anne's, too.
We did. We did. Father Scott, not only was he behind it and gave us a green light, he was excited about the whole opportunity. So, again, we started down that road. We thought we were going to renovate a 1950s building.
The old fishery building.
Yes, thank you. That the Parks and Wildlife Service had used to spawn fish mm-hmm. that they would then use to populate the lakes. The building was still in decent shape. St. Anne's was using it as a storage facility, so it held water. And, you know, I thought, well, great. We'll just clean it up, patch a little drywall, make sure the bathroom's working just fine. You know, for a few thousand dollars, we can get up and running.
Well, and you thought, great idea, but?
Well, we decided to go through a general contractor that we were using at St. Anne's for a parish hall. And the first quote he gave me just after a quick glance was, it was roughly $88,000. And I about flipped. I thought, where are we going to come up with that kind of money? It's a lot of money. Well, the second glance, he said, you know, it's going to be $155,000. And I said, what changed? He said, well, you want it to be ADA compliant, don't you? And I said, well, yes, $155,000. So I thought, you know, this is crazy. Price just keeps going up. I have no confidence pouring that kind of money into a 1950s building, 70-year-old building. So I had a couple of parishioners approach me, and I really need to hand it to these guys because, you know, they were so involved in helping us get started. And that's Kenny Gerber and Larry Romakers. They devoted, gosh, hundreds of hours of their time to help us get off the ground. Well, they convinced me that we need to level this building, build a new building. Mm-hmm. And we could do that. Their initial quote there was, guess what, $155,000 for a brand new 40-by-80-foot building, three times the size
of the fishery building.
So, we're going along, start off the building process. And, you know, none of this would have been possible without God's hand in it. I was the general contractor. I knew nothing about general contracting. You know, I got myself in trouble, gosh, probably half a dozen times. Had to go to the city to beg forgiveness with my tail between my legs. But, you know, we just kind of learned as we went. So all of a sudden, what we thought was if we could start with a few thousand dollars is now approaching $200,000. So we submitted a couple of grants, and, you know, I had heard the horror stories of grant writing, very difficult, very low success rate. So I took a class and learned how to write a grant. Well, I found out that writing a grant was pretty similar to what I did with my business and working with public entities. So I thought, okay, we can do this. Well, guess what, Chris?
What?
We got four out of the first five grants we ever requested.
See, you knew what you were doing.
Well, again, the hand of God. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily what I was doing, but the hand of God. Not Amen. Only that, but tell you a quick story in the Bivens Foundation, and I heard this after the fact from their executive director. She said she was telling our superintendent, Normally, we don't fund grant requests like this one. You know, a ministry starting from scratch, looking to build a building. She said, normally it's out of our wheelhouse, but the grant was so well written and we saw the need that we decided to give them everything they asked for. So again, the hand of God.
Amen to that.
Yes.
So you get grants written and it's time to start putting a building together, Mr. General Contractor. How easy was it to put a building together after you'd gotten all the grants and everything and had most of the parishioners that you wanted on your team behind you working on this?
Yeah, and again, it goes back to Kenny Gerber and Larry Romakers could not have done this without them, would not have been possible. But they knew what they were doing. They had done this before. They knew what contractors to call, who to get involved. And, you know, Chris, again, the hand of God, so heartwarming. Give you several examples. We needed a frame, a couple of offices, a couple of bathrooms. Well, Larry Romakers happened to be in Fort Worth attending a wedding, and he ran across a guy that builds houses, and they're just having a conversation over a drink in the bar. And this guy said, you know, I need to get back to the community. I'll frame those offices for you. So, you know, roughly $20,000, just like that.
Nice.
So we rounded up all our parishioners. We wired that building ourselves with the oversight of a parishioner, Keith Dietz, Dietz Electric. And then Jim Honey assisted with that as well. That saved us, you know, who knows how many thousands of dollars. The floor, we wanted something other than concrete in the waiting room. So we had another parishioner said, you know, I paint floors. I could paint a really nice looking floor for you in the waiting room and the offices and the bathrooms. And, you know, I tell you what, I'll do that free of charge too. All the shelving was donated to us. We found out that Simon Leach is another one that's just couldn't have done this without him. He had spent 40 years at AIG, one of the largest insurance companies in the world. He at one time managed a 1,000 employee office here in Amarillo. Well, AIG decided they needed to outsource some of those jobs overseas, so they were going to close shop. So Simon thought, you know, this is a good time for me to retire. And he sat in on one of my presentations and he said, you know, Glenn, I don't want to retire and sit at home. I need purpose. So can I do this with you? And I said, absolutely. So he's now the president. He runs the operations and volunteer efforts. But yeah, his old company had all his furniture and nowhere to go with it. So they donated tens of thousands of dollars of furniture, you know, office furniture, computers, furniture, chairs, really nice chairs for our waiting room. St. Anne's was even able to get some of this furniture for our new parish hall. You should see the beautiful artwork on our walls that came from this this company. Just, you know, really added a beautiful touch to the food pantry.
The name of the business is the Market on Tierra Blanca, which opened January 9th, 2024. Why the Market on Tierra Blanca?
Well, in all of our wisdom and creativity, we thought, Father Scott and I thought, the Tierra Blanca Food Pantry was an appropriate name. Where'd we get Tierra Blanca? Well, we just happened to sit on Tierra Blanca Drive.
Yes, so. You do, yeah.
Lack of creativity. But anyway, that was our name. Well, I met with Snack Pack for Kids, and Becky Stogner, she said, please do not call it a food pantry. Eliminate the name altogether. She said, it is a negative connotation. And then she asked me, have you ever gone through social services? And I said, well, thank God I have not. And she said, it is very demeaning. There's a mound of paperwork. People look down on you. She said, it is a brutal process. Do not call it a food pantry. People are tired of social services. And besides, their food pantry is empty. That's why they're coming to you. So at the same time, I talked to a couple of WT students who talked about the stigma associated with a food pantry. You know, they did not, that's why they typically avoided food pantries, even though they were desperately in need of food. to get through the day or the semester. So I took this to my board, and I had one board member, and he said, he taught me a new word that day, Chris. He said, you know, this is very bougie. And I said, what's bougie? And he said, well, you know, back in the old days, we'd call it highfalutin, but fancy. But he said, it's bougie, but why not the market on Tierra Blanca? And we looked at each other and we thought, brilliant. Let's go with the market. So now students can tell each other, yeah, I picked up a few things at the market. If you're from the Northeast, Philadelphia, perhaps you might say the market. So, yeah, even... yeah, even our clients, you know, if they, you know, older people, you don't quite have that stigma problem. But, you know, even still, it's a little bit more dignified than a food pantry. So St. Helens Outreach is the umbrella. The ministries underneath that are the food pantry, the market on Tierra Blanca, and then we're starting another ministry, which we hope to roll out. Well, we have already rolled out. We hope to expand soon.
And that would be?
The Senior Enrichment Center.
Oh, okay.
So, again, you know, the hand of God. I started talking to Marla Gales, found out that, you know, she had done quite a bit of work with senior citizens in Canyon, had her own business at one time, caring for seniors in their home. I decided to sell that business, but her service to the elderly was still strong, very strong. And we don't really have much of a senior citizen center in Canyon. Canyon is home to a very large senior population. We do have a senior citizens association operating out of an old church, about 20 members, but not interested in growing. So let's just explore this need. And we determined that, yeah, there's definitely a need. You have a lot of churches doing one-off things here and there, but there's really no place for seniors to get together, to have a meal, to play cards or do what have you. So we rolled this out June the 4th. So we're just focusing right now on St. Anne's parishioners.
Okay.
We want to make sure we got everything in place, the bugs worked out, a good curriculum in place before we start rolling that out citywide.
And when you're ready to, let us know.
We will. Thank you.
Glenn Bacchus is our guest. He is director of St. Helens Outreach and the Market on Tierra Blanca at St. Anne's Church in Canyon. Real quick, operating hours for the Market on Tierra Blanca.
Tuesdays from 3 to 7, Fridays from 9 to noon.
And you need volunteers.
We need volunteers. We need groups. We need you. We cannot do what we do without volunteers. So please come. Please sign up. You can go to our website, www.sthelensoutreach.org. You can submit a volunteer app. Clients can go out there, submit a client app. You can also donate online, one-time or recurring donations. So we need your help. Yeah, that's why I'm here. I talk to groups all the time. We need volunteers. We need funding. We're spending just over $15,000 a month right now on food, trying to serve our clients.
And how many clients are we serving right now?
It's over 700. We hit a record last week, 108 families in one day.
Wow.
Representing over 300 people. So we're well over 700 a month right now. So we need your support, though. So please consider helping us out.
Hunger knows no ethnic group, religion, creed, any of that stuff. Hunger is a very important issue. Please help out the Market on Tierra Blanca. Need to know more? How can they find out more, Glenn?
Again, to our website, www.sthelensoutreach.org. In addition to the applications, it also has contact information on that website. So, yes, love to field your questions. Love to give you a tour of the market.
Former building contractor Glenn Bacchus joining us on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. God bless you and your ministry. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate the update on the Market on Tierra Blanca and look forward to hearing what you're going to be doing with senior enrichment at St. Anne's Church in Canyon here in the next couple of months.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chris.
So let's get you a few pieces of news you need to be aware of. Like, first off, If you're interested in evangelizing at the Catholic booth at the annual Tri-State Fair, and that's coming up next month, hard to believe, well, there's a training day for evangelizing at the Tri-State Fair Saturday, August 16th, 9 a.m. till 11:30 a.m. in the reception room at the Monsignor Francis H. Meyer Activity Center at St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. The fair, Friday, September 12th through Saturday, September 20th. Cindy Cox is coordinating the training session. She would love to have at least two people, if possible, from every parish in our diocese participating at the fair. Need to know more? Want to reserve a spot? Cindy's telephone number, 806-672-3105. Please get with her as soon as possible. In Pampa, the annual Jamaica, Sunday, August 17th, 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. on the parish grounds at 810 West 23rd Avenue. Great food, drinks, activities for kids in all ages, lots of great live music. And there's also going to be a horse ride originating from Mikasita Ranch and arriving at St. Vincent de Paul Church. It's $50 per person for that. There's also a great raffle with 11 fantastic prizes. Need to know more? Want to purchase a ticket for the raffle? 806-665-8933. In Cress, a Jamaica to benefit St. Paul the Apostle Church. Saturday, August 23rd, noon to 8 p.m. on the parish grounds at 610 South Dudley Street in Cress. Great food, drinks, live music, music from DJs, and all kinds of great fundraisers going on that day. Call Church of the Holy Spirit in Tulia for all the details. 806-994-3511. Two other Jamaicas coming up that day, or festivals, if you will. St. Joseph's Church in Stratford with their Jamaica. Saturday, August 23rd, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., City Park on North 7th Street. Need to know more? Call St. Joseph's Church, 806-310-0438. St. John the Evangelist Church in Borger with their annual summer festival. Saturday, August 23rd, 10 a.m. until 8 p.m., Huber Park off South Main in Borger. Volleyball tournament starts at 10. There's a great raffle. There's eight opportunities in that raffle to win a quarter side of beef. Tickets are $20 each for that. Need to know more? Call Isella at St. John the Evangelist Church in Borger, 806-274-7064. And finally, the annual Treat fundraiser to benefit the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center, Friday, September 12th, 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. in the Retreat Center Courtyard, 2100 North Spring. Chef Jason Hashke has got a fantastic menu ready for this evening. See the story in the last issue of the West Texas Catholic or call the Retreat Center, 806-383-1811, or go online, bdrc.org, for all the details. Again, a reminder, if you have comments, suggestions, maybe you'd like to help underwrite the cost of capping. I mean, after all, David Wilson does not exactly make dimes here. We have to pay him mega dollars to do his job. Maybe you're interested in advertising. STCAPN at DIOAMA.org is our email address. You can find the podcast at STCAPN.com. And don't forget to fill out that form at STCAPN.com. We want to hear from you. We want to make your podcast even better. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. Remember, abortion is not and never will be healthcare. Viva Cristo Rey.